So, as we come to the end of these 2 weeks that I've been talking about kusala, wholesomeness, and skillfulness, there was a man who came to the Buddha to ask a question about the kusala dhamma, a question about skillful teachings, spiritual teachings, or wholesome spiritual teachings. And I love this kind of idea that the Dhamma, the teachings, that the Buddha teaches, or that people are oriented towards, is something which is wholesome or skillful, beneficial. And that's an alternative to someone coming and talking about what is the true teaching, as if there's some absolute truth, ultimate truth that we have to discover, or teaching which is ultimate, the ultimate teaching, that the most profound teaching ever. And the Buddha regularly kind of avoided that kind of language, but was always pragmatic, and he emphasizes that which was wholesome and beneficial, that which is beneficial for leading to the end of suffering and brought happiness and welfare. It's a very different orientation for religious teachings, where many times in philosophy and religion people are looking for what's ultimately true. In Buddhism, it's more looking at what leads to happiness and welfare and what leads to the end of suffering. So this man comes, it's coming a little bit to challenge the Buddha, and he says that it seems to me that if someone discovers a wholesome teaching, a wholesome dharma, that they shouldn't teach that to anybody else, because it's an impediment to them, it's an obstacle to them, it just causes them headaches to have to go and teach other people. And after all, what can one person do for another person? Implying that you really can't do something for much for other people. And so he asked, what do you think about this, to the Buddha? And the Buddha said, well, let me reply with a simile. And I think this is a very kind thing to do, is rather than directly criticizing the man for his teachings or offering an alternative directly, as almost like there's two different views, and I'm going to offer my view now, and that's clearly opposed to your view. He says, well, I'm going to offer you a simile, and I'll ask you questions. So this man who's talking to the Buddha, it's important to understand that he's a large landholder, and in the time of the Buddha, he owns a vast estate where there are many sharecroppers who work his fields. And, you know, they share in the crop a little bit, and that's their payment. So the Buddha says, well, imagine a visitor comes to you and says, you should just keep all the produce that's produced on your estate for yourself, so you can enjoy it and have a good life, and don't share anything with your sharecroppers. If that person came to you and told you that, would that be a challenge, a difficulty for your sharecroppers? And the man said, yes, that would be a difficulty for them and be a challenge for them not to receive any payment or any of the produce for themselves. And would that person be, that visitor who came, would that person be concerned with their welfare? And the man said, oh no, the person would have no concern for their welfare. Well then, if that, what do you think? Would that person more have ill will for your sharecroppers, or goodwill or loving kindness for that, for your sharecroppers? And the person said, oh, it would be more ill will for them. And the Buddha said, in the same way, if a person discovers a wholesome teaching, a wholesome dharma, wholesome practice, and doesn't share it with people who could benefit from it, that's a challenge for them. It's an obstacle for them. It's an impediment for them in terms of moving towards greater welfare. And it would not support them and benefit them. And maybe it's more likely that kind of keeping the teachings to oneself is a kind of ill will, a little bit of aversion that's there. So rather than directly countering the man, the Buddha said, here is a simile. How would you behave under a similar circumstance? And when the man understood how he'd behave in a similar circumstance, then I think the idea is the Buddha didn't have to answer the question directly as asked. A person could figure out how the simile was applied to his own question. And so here the idea being that there is a wholesome dharma, skillful dharmas, and that it's a good thing to share it with people. It's a good thing to teach if you have it, if you really discovered it and know it really for yourself. And so whether everyone should be teaching explicitly or be a teacher, that's another question. But the idea that that we're here, we have something, we discovered how to live in a way that is beneficial, and we share it with others. We live it so that we can benefit other people as well. That we don't live hermetically sealed off from others, but we live in a world to cooperate and to live in mutual kind regard and mutual support for each other. And so we discover wholesome states of mind, we discover wholesome practices, wholesome ways of being, and you could just keep it to yourself. But rather than necessarily teaching your family and friends, be sure to live it. Be sure to express it in how you live your life. Share the goodness you discovered, the freedom you discovered. And that's an art. That's a skill to be learned gradually, slowly, by continuing to do it. Just because it's difficult, or it feels a little bit like, tiring to kind of be kind to people or friendly. If we keep practicing it and doing it, it becomes easier and easier. It becomes second nature. And in some sense, it eventually becomes easier than many of the alternatives. So the wholesome dharma. And I want to end this series of talks with emphasizing what I've said now repeatedly about the nature of the Buddha's teachings, that they're pragmatic. There are many people who came to the Buddha to ask ultimate questions, ultimate spiritual, religious, philosophical, existential questions. And some people even demanded the Buddha that he should answer these kinds of questions, like, does the soul exist? Will the soul exist after we die? Does a soul die when we die? Is consciousness something eternal? Is consciousness something that is temporary, only here when we're alive? Is the world eternal? Is the world not going to last forever? Is the world infinite, it goes on forever, or is it finite? All these kinds of ultimate questions, and we can add probably all kinds of ones that we've probably heard ourselves over time. And some people really want answers to these things because somehow that reassures them or tells them they're on a good path, or I don't know what the reasons. But the Buddha always said, oh, those kinds of questions, they are not beneficial. So he kind of mostly just stays silent. He doesn't answer those questions. They're not beneficial for helping people come to the end of suffering, to discover a real happiness. What I teach is the practice, the orientation, the view that supports people to discover what is really beneficial, what brings welfare, what brings happiness, the end of suffering. And so with this kind of pragmatic orientation, the Buddha's concern is really with people's suffering and overcoming it. That's the topic. And sometimes our particular Buddhist tradition is considered kind of a lesser Buddhist tradition. And maybe that's a nice label we can embrace, because yes, it's lesser in the sense that it doesn't pursue all the grand and wonderful cosmic existential questions that people can think of, but rather focuses on something very fundamental and root, that is suffering and the end of suffering, happiness and the discovery of a lasting, really profound happiness and well-being. And with that end of suffering, and with this discovery of happiness, then our relationship to these great existential questions, the meaning of life and what happens when we die, they might still be interesting questions, but then they have more, they're a little bit more philosophical in nature, a little bit more abstract, or a little bit more, they're not as weighty or as important for us, because we've discovered how to be at peace and very happy here. There's no fear that's driving those questions. So wholesome and wholesomeness, skillfulness. This is a really fundamental concept in the teachings of the Buddha that I find quite inspiring. It's meant to simplify things, to keep us close to what's most important if what we want to do is to become free of suffering. So, thank you very much, and I hope that you will live a wholesome, skillful life for your own sake and for the sake of others. It's a great privilege, a great honor to be able to do even the smallest thing to benefit the life of someone else. So, thank you very much.